Another day in the month of March now. Soon spring will be coming. Let us hope that we are now coming out of the winter of despair and trouble and tribulation that we've been going through for the last 6 years and coming to a place of spring, where all the thoughts and the ideas and the feelings that we had at one time are beginning to blossom, beginning to grow, beginning to become beautiful again. Because all of us here on this planet Earth have been blessed with a planet that is full of abundance, full of the resources necessary for food and shelter and clothing, with more left over than we ever really need. I think it's time for us to begin to take advantage of this abundance instead of living lives of scarcity. Talking about abundance, I am not only talking about abundance of things, but of thoughts, ideas, and experiences. And even if we don't have an abundance of things and resources, if we can join together as groups, we can create our experiences. We can create the communities that we want to live in. We can create joy and excitement. All that's necessary to do this is getting aside from the ideas that we have that make us compete with each other, so that we can live together in harmony and in peace. That is the message for today, and it's somewhat amusing considering all of the violence and all of the war going on in the world today. I was watching a report once that was talking about all of the famines, food shortages, and the report basically said that since the 20th century, the only famines that have occurred not because of the earth or not because of the ability of people to grow and have food being limited, but because of some outside force, some group of people, some way causing famines, droughts, and death. I think it's time for us to end this. And it's time for us to work together in order to create a world where those things don't exist anymore. There was an attempt to do this. People made the attempt seem like the most evil thing in the world. It was this idea that China had about going around the world and creating a new Silk Road that would link all of the countries together. Talked about building the infrastructures of these countries so they would be strong, and building up the transportation all over the world so that people would trade with each other and partner with each other, not out of a sense of obligation or a sense of poverty, but a sense of shared partnership, a sense of fulfilling the dream of the one who is fully human. And that fulfillment means creating a world of justice, love, kindness, and compassion. They wanted to do this. They tried to partner with the United States in order to do this, of course, but the Secretary of State at the time would not pay attention to them at all and didn't want to do it. They started on their own. instead of being applauded, they've been demonized, and we have been led to think that they wanted to do it in order to take over the world and take our power when they originally wanted to line up with us in Europe and do it. I think along the way we have lost touch with the dream they used to call the American dream. I think we've lost touch with the ideas that came out of the Enlightenment, or we have really just begun to see that those ideas were not meant for the world, but just a few people at the top. The great dream that I always learned of in my civics classes and history classes and things like that was a dream of ending all war and violence and working together as one global community to create peace, to share our health and love, and the opportunity for people to climb as high as they wanted to, but also not starve to death if they didn't want to do that. These are the roots that we need to return to, not to the roots where one person was a landlord, everybody else was in debt, and couldn't afford to live. And so I sit here, looking out the window on a beautiful day with a large cup of coffee in my hand, finding ways to enjoy life. I listen to the news. I read books. I watch YouTube. I see all of these things that are very troubling. It makes me question humanity and question my belief system. But deep underneath my belief system, as I continue to question and dig, I find something that is indescribable. There is a light. There is a river of power. There is a river of joy and peace underneath all of the garbage, underneath all of the talk, underneath all of the brainwashing and all of that. There is this peaceful, tranquil river of joy and abundance. And the more I stay in that river, the better I feel. But then something happens. My guess is you probably experienced this too. I leave the river and come back into the regular world of busyness, of competition, of trying to fill our empty spaces with products or self-esteem, not from ourselves, but esteem given to us by those who push us forward, who uphold us, who pat us on the back for always wanting more and never being satisfied with ourselves. One thing I'm finally realizing though is this: we don't have to leave the river. We can bring that river of joy and peace and tranquility with us as we remember that we are all simply streams flowing in that river. We are the deep recesses of the river. We are the peace. We are the tranquility. And we are the love. And as we remember this, Selah, there it is. It's hard to remember it though sometimes. Sometimes we're not allowed to remember it. Sometimes we are told that we have to feel sad and terrible because other people do. We're told that our hearts were hardened if we have the nerve to feel joy and gratitude, and other people are suffering. And I would say this is the case sometimes because most of us have been divided by an either-or mentality. Binary. Everything is either a one or a zero. This is the creation of the human being, the creation of mankind, separating everything into ones and zeros, and then separating his or herself. They're thinking mind in the ones and zeros so that they cannot get beyond the artificial creation of such a mindset and see that nothing in creation truly exists that way. We have created a world where we only look at the extremes and we never really consider all that is going on in the middle. We don't even really look at the extremes. We look at what we consider the extremes. There really aren't, because most of the time there are no extremes. And so I think one of the ways to find joy during these troubling times is throw away all of those ideas and move into something called reality. After a brief break, we will discuss this movement back into reality. This isn't just talk. This is something that we do and teach how to do. Visit us at our website at www.nextstepcoaching.mysite.com. That is www.nextstepcoaching.mysite.com, where we do live coaching sessions that will teach you to live now in joy and in peace and contentment. And now back to the broadcast. There are many methods, like hypnosis, Tai Chi, Qigong, various forms of meditation, various forms of chanting that are easy to do. And if they are applied in the correct way, mastered bit by bit, there will be immediate effects. One will move into a state of peace and tranquility automatically and quickly. And when one continues to do the practice, one learns to move into that state of calm and peace more easily. And at will, even in the midst of the fire, all of these things are available. You can probably find them all over the internet, on YouTube and Twitter and all types of places, but there is something that also needs to be added to all of these methodologies, and that is an understanding, a deep understanding of who we are, what this world is, where we come from. There has to be a clarity of the existential understanding of who we are and what it means to be human. Most of the time, the YouTube channels don't teach that. They have their own idea that they push forward, and sometimes they come close to reality, but not quite there. I'll give you an example of what I mean by close to reality, but not quite there. There's a story about Lao Tzu. Lao Tzu was a person who was working in the market, and he heard some monks talking about Taoism and enlightenment. And at that time, he became enlightened. And so he went and he got a job at a school where people were learning about spirituality and meditation. He was very poor, so he couldn't afford to spend the money to go there. So he worked there as a janitor, working, listening, understanding. Then one day, a new Dharma teacher was going to be elected among the group. What they did was they wrote a koan or something that is sort of like a riddle or story where one had to interpret it on the board. And whoever correctly interpreted it would be the next teacher. And so the brightest student there went onto the board and he was supposed to answer what enlightenment was. He said, a stand, a mirror, shining all the brightness of reality. That's not an exact quote, but it's similar to what he said. The stand, the mirror, all of the unspeakable brightness in the universe. Lao Tzu, being a janitor, was there that evening. He wrote something on the board that was similar, but he said this: no stand, no mirror, just all brightness. You see, the first one was brilliant. He got close, but Lao Tzu became the teacher because he understood fully the question and the answer, and he of course had to be shipped out and leave the place lest he should be killed when those rich people realized that the janitor was the one who gained the prize. A lot of the people you listen to on YouTube and on the radio and things like that get close. What they say sounds brilliant, like the first student. But they don't get to the place where Lao Tzu was, because getting to that place takes a lot of deep thought, understanding, and experience. Meditating, contemplating, using one's heart, mind, body, and doing very spiritual activities gives one the experience to move forward. But just listening to ideas, especially when people are telling us things that are not all the way at the end, can actually hinder us and give us a false sense of being enlightened or being awake. And so one must do the practices and listen and be careful how one hears or what one hears, because what one hears can shape one's future thoughts and ideas if one is not aware. But if one becomes aware of how they are hearing, they become aware of the mechanisms that are working in the subconscious mind that are affecting and controlling their lives without them knowing. This whole world is a mirror. The way we see it and the way that we react to it is a reflection of those powers within the deep subconscious that are controlling us and shaping our perception of the world. It's only when we become aware of what they are and we bring that from the subconscious to the cerebral cortex where we can speak of it that we have the power to decide whether we'll hold on to it or let it go. And that is the adventure that is the joy, that growth that we attain in this lifetime is our goal, and is even more enjoyable. This world is even more enjoyable, and we can help others get there too. Thanks for being with us. Find out more about us in the description. And have a perfect week. Namaste.